On Sunday, May 13, 2018, my friend Allison Clark called me about an unusual bird at her feeder, a summer tanager. He's what's called a first spring bird, meaning he hatched last year. I couldn't get away right away, but the bird was still visiting her bird bath and feeders a few hours later. I took plenty of pictures. He kept his distance, but the photos are diagnostic. It's easy to tell male from female tanagers by the male's brilliant colors, and it's easy to tell first spring male summer tanagers from adults, too. Instead of being bright rosy red all over, they're red on the head, upper back, and breast, with the wings yellowish olive and the rest of the body covered with patches of yellowish olive. In this and some other species, males don't get into full adult plumage until they're almost 2 years old. That first spring plumage may make older adult males a little more tolerant of the adolescence and may serve as a warning to females that these males are probably too inexperienced to make ideal mates. The summer tanager's breeding range extends from the Gulf of Mexico into the southern half of Iowa and into northwestern Illinois, but not at all into Wisconsin or Minnesota. It winters from central Mexico to Bolivia and Brazil. Some male summer tanagers wander significantly north of their breeding grounds during spring migration, and both sexes wander during fall migration, though no one understands why. Even more mystifying is the fact that individuals sometimes appear as far north as Canada during winter. In 1975, during my first spring birding, I spotted a stunning adult male summer tanager along the Red Cedar River on the Michigan State University campus. The range maps of both my field guides showed it did not belong there, and so I never added it to my life list, though I can still picture the solid, rosy red bird perfectly. I had to wait until Russ and I went to Savannah, Georgia, a year later to add it to my list. Even though I never counted that first one, from the moment I read about summer tanagers, I was intrigued. Their bill is noticeably longer than other tanagers, and apparently for a good reason. They specialize on eating bees and wasps. Their bee-eating habits are well known. Audubon's painting of this bird from 1821 shows one with a bee in its beak. Alexander Wilson wrote in 1828, "In several instances I have found the stomach entirely filled with the broken remains of bumblebees." It's a bit early up here for bees, and summer tanagers are perfectly fine eating fruits, some seeds, other insects, and even suet. But bees and wasps consider summer tanagers to be vicious serial killers with good reason. These sweet-looking birds snap big, juicy wasps in that bill, which is just long enough to keep any stinger safely away from their face. Then they bash the hapless insect against a branch to kill it, and then rub it against the branch to remove the stinger. After they've eliminated menacing adults, they raid colonies to eat the grubs. It's labor-intensive and dangerous until each bird gets the knack, but a single large bee or wasp provides a lot more nourishment than most of the tinier insects other tanagers eat. Summer tanagers put on enough fat from their unique diet that when they were captured and weighed just arriving in Panama in one study, they still had more than enough fat to go over 500 additional miles. Most birds arriving there are depleted and need to pig out for at least a day or two before continuing migration. During spring, an out-of-the-way little wanderer may stick around a feeding station for days or even a week or two. Allison's little bird stuck around for a couple of days. It was last seen at noon Tuesday, May 15th. He'll be missed, but with luck, he's exploring this big, wide world and will find his way back to where he belongs to figure out the lay of the land and where to stop next spring so he'll be successfully breeding when the time is ripe. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.